Jesus. Jesus.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and them that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. The first verse of this scripture shows us the context of the scripture. It's a scripture that has to do with territorial governance. This, the influence that is the leading participant in territorial governance. Because 24 verse 1 shows us the scope of the Lord's authority, the scope of the Lord's power. But you see, even though the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, if you notice in verse 7 when he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, it's not the Lord that gave that command. It is men in his army that gave that command. Why? Because when those men were asked, who is this person you are introducing to us? The people now referred to the authority that sent them. The Lord of hosts. So it was not the Lord himself that was doing, giving the command for the lifting of the gates. Strange things happen when several things enter into some territories. When I came in from Lagos, I began to tell the people around, you guys don't know how much freedom you have. You guys are free, but you don't know it. Because there's something that has entered that place that has not entered here. Hallelujah. Now so, the people that commanded the gates to open for the Lord to enter was not the Lord that commanded. It was several people came to advertise, to prepare the way before him. And it's not God's responsibility to come into a territory to command the gates to be lifted up. Friends, I speak in parables. Several things seek to gain entrance into our territory. The devil, I don't know what is the devil's intention. But you see, when there's a strategic territorial thing that is happening or about to happen, the protocol needs to be broken to attend to the emphasis of God. I would like you to lift up your voice. And you are like a watchman. One that articulates. One that articulates entry and exit into a territory. Several things are about to enter our territory. And they are forbidden to the kingdom. And so it's needful for you to lift up your voice today. Those guys commanded the gates to be lifted. We want to command it to be sealed. If the gates can be lifted, the same gates can be sealed. We want to seal the gates of this territory to several demonic influences that seek to gain entrance into it. We have been sent from the Lord. And right now you want to lift up your voice and seal the gate. Now if you have seen a typical kingdom scenario, there's always a wall that is erected and a gate that leads to the very belly of the fortress. Whenever enemy lines are designed, the first place to secure is the gate. It's not the king that comes to seal the gate. It's not the king that comes to open the gate. But his subjects, his soldiers, his mercenaries that are into territorial integrity defense. Can you rise up tonight and say, God, we seal the gates of this territory to foul influences of darkness that seek to gain entrance. Foul influences. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and them that dwell therein. You want to command the gates to be sealed. To be sealed. We forbid entrance. We forbid trafficking. We forbid movement across the borders. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In that city, there shall enter nothing that maketh a lie. There shall enter nothing that is of darkness. In that city, the noise of weeping, the noise of wasting and warring shall not be heard in the borders thereof. Because there are watchmen that stand upon the gates and refuse entrance to that which is impure, that which is dark, that which is wicked. Oh, today, Lord, we lift up our voice. And your dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth, and the tribes of the wilderness they shall bow before thee, and your enemies shall lick the dust. Lord, today we seal the gates of this city. Every entry point of this land is sealed to the enemy. Every intention of the kingdom of darkness that have been concocted in high places, we foil it, we foil it, we render it null and void. We remove its potency from its counsel in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid anything that maketh a lie from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The name of the Lord to be praised. We seal the gates of the territory. We forbid the entrance of any foul thing. We sanctify the territory with prayer, with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let enchantments made fail. Let divinations made fail. Let covenants made fail in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Still in the mood of prayer, I would like you to reach to your Bible as we secure wisdom from the Word of God. When you fight, you need wisdom. Nahum chapter 3. Nahum chapter 3. I want to begin to read from verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departed not. The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. And there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Why? Because of the multitude of the widows and of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of what?
Witchcraft.
Of witchcraft. Now, let me stop there. He's trying to give us an insight into that which is responsible for the strange condition on ground. Hallelujah. That's why I like reading the book of the prophets. When they identify a problem happening in society, they take you back into the spirit realm and show you the source point. When you have secured the source point, they take you further into God's wisdom to break the hold of that inferno. Now, the chaos taking place in that city is traceable to a cause. Now, let's try to identify the cause. Because of the multitude of the widows, the sin in the land, the iniquity in the land, can bring an influx of spiritual entities that will change the course of the civilization of the land. That's one. Two, the mistress of witchcraft. Now, if you see the word witchcraft, we normally pronounce it and consider it within the context of the singular. We say witchcraft. But the more I study my Bible with particular emphasis on that practice, I find out that it's in the plural. Crafts. Different kinds of crafts. Indicative of the fact that the great craft you find in Odu is different from the one you find in Sapele. Are you still here? Now, so he's saying that in that city we have many types of prisoners. And on the account of the multitude of these kind of crafts, the land is known by wasting and worry. The noise of wasting, the noise of destruction never leaves the territory. The Bible reveals that the number of corpses, people that have become victims of this spiritual reality, are so many that if you walk upon the street, you stumble upon them. And the prophet said, there are different kinds of witchcrafts that have been identified in active practice in the territory. And if we don't deal with such, we cannot depend on
the security agencies to bring about the calm that everybody is waiting for. Witchcrafts. I went to preach in University of Ilorin, and I got there was darkness everywhere. I tried to pray. Prayers could not break through. I said, "Whoa, we are well. Here we go." Then I knew that I need a long stretch of prayer. So when they ushered me into my cubicle, I switched off everything and began to soar in the spirit. It was hard to gain ascendancy. But when I soared in the spirit, I found out that before they built that school, they buried a female child down there. I'm talking about witchcraft. But you guys are not here. Now, and this person that was buried, a female child, I saw her naked. She had two pots like that, small pots. And the content was blood. As long as there was blood in those pots, her soul, the voice of her soul, was crying out of the ground. Now, I know you have read the Bible. You must have seen that even after that Abel had died, his voice could still cry from the ground because of the potential of his blood. His blood gave him access to yet still sustain a voice. Just like the Bible says that the blood of Jesus is still speaking. The blood of Abel spoke, and the volume or the utterance that it was releasing was based on the burden that was upon the soul of the person by the time the life was cut off. Jesus on the cross was saying, "Forgive them." So his blood was speaking what? Oh, you are not with me. Mando Bakayense. His blood was saying what? When injustice was brought to bear upon him and he decided to release all the culprits, his blood carried that vocabulary and it traveled with it. And that voice is still here today. Are you here now? Now, so when that child was buried alive, I could see several things in the realm. Then I understood why there was dryness. It was an activity, a technology of witchcraft that was administered. And that was done several years ago, maybe under the cover of darkness. Not so many people were aware of that event. But you see, an entire civilization was compromised because of witchcraft. Are you still with me now? A woman, one grandmother in a particular family, felt the family had relegated her to the background, that nobody cared for her again. She came out one night with an angry fowl and a knife. And she spilled the blood and spoke and said, "Nobody will ever prosper in this family." You can be in Michigan walking on the highway, New Jersey in America. You are strolling on the street. As far as you are from her, as far as you came out of her womb, that you will feel the impact of that utterance there. And if there is no blood that is higher in the spirit realm that can be an utterance that is more superior, that cost will rest. It is called what? Witchcraft. Oh, you are not. On the ground we had prancing horses. On the ground we had noisy chariots. On the ground we had corpses and many slain. On the ground we have a brilliant sword and a glistering spear. That's what everybody saw on the news. Bomb, disaster, death in the church. 2 died, 4 missing. That kind of stuff doesn't just happen. And that's why we came today to lift up our voice. Please help me ask your neighbor, did you come here to pray? Oh? This is your jeans trousers you are wearing. I'm not sure. Male mama ya kamasa dayena ma. Shela male kondale na.
A young man like that from Edo State. He says the reason why he gives sacrificial offerings is because he knows that even today in his family, they called his name and poured blood on his shrine. So he knows that the only way he can survive is for him to be absolutely committed to the will of God. Because when your will is surrendered to God's will, you are no longer the one that is living. It's the will of God that is being prepared through your life. And anything that comes against you is coming against the will of God. That's what happened in Gethsemane. Jesus let go his will. As far as his own way was concerned, it was buried. When he rose up from that place, nothing changed in the natural. But he was no longer living. It was the will of God that rose from the prayer place. And everything that fought him, fought the will of God. And it happens to be that there's a wisdom of God that secures every will of God. Such that if you try to fight it, you only set it free. If you try to stop it, you only end up advancing it. No, you are not here. He said, right now I know that my uncle's called my name. Hallelujah. Donatus, what's your village name? No, your name. Your team name. Tepasi. Alright. Somebody calls Tepasi and he paused. Yoningi. Osega. But what? The multitude of witchcraft. When you come into a place and you see crisis, don't try to constitute a conflict resolution committee to strike a balance in the broad spectrum of the argument play. Many times, in order for you to stop a clash, you need to find the altar. I want us to cry. Many things seek to seize the soul of our nation. All kinds of powers have been deployed. All kinds of spirits have been awoken. Even altars that died, they have revived them. There's so much commotion. When you see that the high blood pressure of a city is raging like an inferno, it means that several things have been brought into the civilization. And until the people of God awake, those messengers that God sends to the gate to either seal them or open them, until those forerunners come, if they don't show up, darkness will invade. Many times families come into turbulence just because a spirit comes. I've seen that again and again and again. And my own perspective of conflict is not that it's a product of disagreement. It's a manifestation of a spirit. Can you rise up so that we can pray together like a band of people that understand how to change things in the realm of the spirit? I'd like you to lift up your voice and you're saying, oh God, oh God. We bring to naught every counsel of our intellect, every wisdom of the princes of this world, seeking to bring in bondage, such as call upon your name in this nation. We arise, we arise. I speak of a spirit of reckless wickedness, galloping like a stallion, galloping from city to city, seeking to take peace out of the land, seeking to bring unrest and poverty. Can you arise today and say, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bring to naught every contrary counsel. Solemaka Zakambraska Paralala. Cry to him. Cry, cry to him. Cry to him. Cry to the Lord. Calabradabadabada. Zimamanakaba. Jacobrenda Scapera Halabaya. Jacombas Keta Brante Sofregatena Bakaska Mantale. Sikabas Kento Raponda Edakaya Mandele. Zizanante Sofre Katabalata Prasketa. Mandaba Sakabaya Sikabaya Sakabreska Tande Sobalante Brabamanzeya.
I prasketo manza ekabaya la bonzi kabre sandualati isosonde apresta tapalata mastataya esopria la mancante pregati yala basamana asamana 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 prasketo baranda balanda di astata manza la mahaha Lift up your voice and call upon his name. Based on the limits of my exposure to Bible study, I can tell you confidently that any time blood flows, spirit flows. Somebody told us Lesser Sumra. Lesser Sumra was a very significant apostle. He was the one that gave clarity into the gifts of the Spirit. He was a prince of God. He came one time like that and demons came into his room and scattered the whole room. I called the spirit back, come back here. You arrange this place. I left this place in good order. And you showed up and the spirit came there and put the bed back. I'm talking about Sumra. That was how strong he was in the things of God. Hallelujah. And in a crusade, a preacher asked him, what song will we sing for you when you minister? He said, oh, the blood of Jesus. The preacher asked why. He said, anywhere the blood has not gone, the spirit cannot go. If blood flows, spirit flows. If you go to Asia, the practice of witchcraft is different. It has a different perspective. And even has a different name. But it's still witchcraft. If you go to Benin Republic, it's called voodoo. In Benin Republic, witchcraft, you do it with fire. Fire. Hallelujah. Cracks of witches to bring dominion, wasting, and boring into territories, families, lives, and lands. But you see, God always sends mercenaries to address the gates. Lift up your head, they said, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting God. Gates that can rise can also be shut. In the next 15 minutes, I'd like us to run. Every opening that gives the devil an advantage into this territory. I was in Lagos and I was reading in the newspapers. Fulani people again in Gwe West. What do they want there?
Fulani, every day Fulani. Can you raise, can you be angry in your spirit? Can you be provoked today? Be provoked. I don't want us to enter casually into this service. It's a season of prayer. Every man, every preacher, every believer in this time that is alive in the spirit knows it is a season of prayer. This is a time that we need to break all the protocols and gather as a congregation and cry to Jehovah Sabaoth, the man of war. In a moment of time, I'd like you to lift up your voice. And every opening that brings the influence of darkness into this territory, into your family, around the corridors of your life and allotment, it's time to say no. Everywhere blood flows, spirit flows. Cry from the depth of your pain. You want to destroy the work of the enemy. Every enchantment, every divination, everything put under the influence of divination. You want to stop it now. You want to bring an end to it now. You want to bring an end. You want to bring an end. Shabbat, Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. A spiritual man does not interpret the events that are captured on the dailies by political indices. The events that are captured within the context of our dailies should not be interpreted from political planes. Hallelujah. A police officer called us to pray for him, and we went there and he unveiled his tongue, right? His tongue, if you look upon his tongue, it was like if a new razor blade was taken and used to injure it. And so the man cannot swallow. He has a can close to him. Every time saliva forms in his mouth, he reaches out. Come on. And they were administering drugs, trying to sustain. We now went for prayers. I went to the company of my friend Elijah. He happens to be a seer. And I was standing by the left side, and he was standing by the right side. We started praying. And suddenly he touched me. Then he spoke into my ears and said, "This man has died." I said, "I don't understand what you are talking about." He said, "His spirit is not in his body now." "Where's his spirit?" He said, "He has not known yet. He's tracing it." I said, "All right, let's trace." He touched me again. He said, "His spirit is in Panshin. Panshin. That's the name of a place in Jaws, I guess." So he said, "This prayer has ended now. The next phase of this prayer will continue in Panshin." And that happens to be the man's village. All right. All the way to Panshin. Everybody, let's go. Prayers continue again in the night. He said, "Prayers will commence by 7 p.m. What was done by 7 p.m. and it can only be broken by 7 p.m. So right now, everybody go and sleep. You converge by what? Wait. The Lord is speaking something. He said, "Bring a bowl and put salt in the bowl." I happen to have the teacher's orientation. When you start going diabolical, going like that, I have to call you back. I said, "Wait, which?" He said, "Okay, just teacher, you watch me, all right? If there's no miracle that happens on the account of what I want to do, then it's false. Because the gift of working of miracles is such that the Holy Spirit inspires you to walk a walk that produces what? A miracle. So if there's no miracle, if you say today that the Lord says you anoint, and we anoint everybody and there's no miracle in that service, you are a rogue. In fact, your license to a pulpit should be withdrawn. Because you have brought a walk into it. You are not here. If you initiate a walk and it doesn't translate, you are a fraud. Then you cool down. You say. Say, put salt in a bowl, and then they put. Say, "All right, let's speak in tongues." Then he said, "Okay, the instruction is to sprinkle it around the compound." Mankepo ikata moko sakaye mante. Hey, makante. Oh my God. And as the salt water touched the place where they buried Ram, the man's spirit left that place and entered the man again. And the man, the tongue that has 1,000 cuts was healed. What's that? Witchcraft. Oh, you are not here. you are not here. And then you want to come upon the scene, a doctor will now say, the name is Glyco. Please help me touch your neighbor. You have gone too far. The name is witchcraft. Witchcraft. In deep language, they call Sav. Sav. In the dumb, it's not what? Eh? Oh, hey. Oh, he has a name. In Benin Republic, it's called voodoo. In fact, Benin Republic was a country of witchcraft that at the international airport, you see, this, until Kereku became president, they wrote it there. This country is dedicated to voodoo. It's on the signboard. That we do things here, oh, that they are informing you. And they put it at the airport so that everybody flying in, arm yourself, your head might not be on your neck tomorrow night. That's what you see. What's the name? Witchcraft. And the Bible says in the book of Nahum that there are many kinds. When you go to Asia and you see the worship of Kalia, you might see the way the priestess are dressed. Alright? You might get excited. The nature of the temple, how it looks, the majestic nature of the temple. But the name of what they do is witchcraft. You might move from there and go to Brazil. You might find naked people doing one like that and releasing fire, calling fire, calling. The name is called what? Because there are different crafts, there are different types of witchcraft. But anytime you see wasting and worry, you see carcasses, you see death, you see affliction, you see torment without cause, it is traceable to witchcraft. The prophet did not emphasize witchcraft in that particular verse of scripture. That was not the emphasis, but the effect of emphasis of witchcraft. He didn't say this kind of witchcraft is called this kind of, no. He just said that this situation here is traceable to, and he put an S to show you that they are what? We're going to bring judgment before I sit down. Judgment. Somebody died in my family, so they went for burial. So some guys now got angry. Some of my uncles got angry and they said, come for prayer. Everybody assemble. And then they assemble. Even the wizard too assembled. The witch assembled. Everybody did what? No, it's not time to sit down. You stand up. If you are not pregnant, and if you don't have a child, if you have a child, consider. But it's not time. You see, all right, we are going to pain this family. That anybody that practices witchcraft here, let God judge the person. The witch say amen. The sorcerer say amen. He said, the one that practiced before, they are forgiven. But if after this prayer, there's such practice, let God, they say amen, amen. And then the man said, the elders should round up and seal it. And the elders is the wizard. Now say, God of heaven, come down, deliver our family, save us. Let the plague of untimely death be broken. That's a good place to say amen. Let poverty be broken. Let wickedness cease. And let unity be found among you. This is our corporate prayer. In the name of Jesus. After that utterance, the Spirit of God went to work. We We never knew that in that compound there was enough resources to construct six shrines there in the compound. The Spirit of God began to work because we asked people that we sent to the burial. They gave us feedback. They said, this is the prayer that we prayed. We said, okay. At least we have come to that point where we can pray that kind of prayer. That's a good start. Then the most influential about among my uncles was not there when the prayer was prayed. He was in Abuja. And he was going on the road, and a prophet wanted him and told him his life history. He pretended as if he's not the one. He went further. The prophet spoke more. He said, I don't even know God. I don't go to church. The prophet now spoke more again. Hey. Said, come. Let's sit down. Then the prophet said, there is a shrine in your compound in the village. He said, no, we don't practice witchcraft. We are godly people. Our grandfather attended Bible church. And when the prophet insisted, they said, okay, let us go to the village. And they didn't announce. So the witchcraft man didn't know. The witch didn't know that the visitors were on the high. Before they came, I think the witch now picked it. Hey! She locked her door and traveled. She says she's going to her people. The prophet came and spoke in tongues. This is the door. They tried to open it. It was padlocked. Said, break it. And they saw. There's one called Ajeje. It's like a hunter that is bending. They now brought it out. If you face it to Songo, and release it, it don't go move in the days, in the night. That same this thing. We thought that shrine as they had finished. We didn't know it was one was in the compound. Then among all the articles, there was one. It was mobile. It had movement in it. It had movement. So they didn't need to carry it out. It strode out by itself. I know you don't believe me. They were now destroying them. The mobile one. They were not told that mobile one, they're of safety, that you keep. And a small boy became interested in the view, that he compromised the radius, and the thing leaped and began to suck the blood. For 5 minutes, the guy was dying, was shaking. The prophets came and they began to cast it. We cast you. Come on! Come! Then they now saw it was the response. So they say, leave this, go into that goat. The thing now moved. But they remember Jesus cast this spirit into the swine. You must tell it where to go. Leave there, go to the goat. And he went, leaped on the goat. Sucking for 15 minutes, the goat died. But what was working? The prayer that the elder prayed, he thought that it was just a mere utterance. That prayer brought another spirit. The spirit kept walking. And that revelation came 30 days after the spirit took effect. Are you still with me now? After they destroyed the shrine again, the woman picked it from where she was in her village that the shrine has been uncovered. And she took bike. When she ran into the compound, they have already broken the door. Oh, so she fell down and began to crawl and began to beg. That anything you say, I'm guilty. What's that? Witchcraft. And she had different types, not just one type. She had the one that the calabash, they'll invoke your spirit, you will appear. Then boom. She had mirror, invoke, boom. And then she had can command it, and it can move from here to Ushongo and appear beside somebody's bed in the night and tap the person. If you see the thing face to face, that's the last thing that you will see. His hand will only pluck out when it has reached where the prey is. What? The Bible says in that scripture that there is so much prey. Can you cry today and release a different influence? That in this territory, in your life, in your family, if there's anything that spoke before, let it never speak again. Please cry out. If it spoke before, if it ever spoke before, if it ever spoke before, cry out in the name of Jesus.
Voice be heard. By the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Make sure your voice is heard. Authority in the kingdom is dispatched to utterance. Utterance can change the direction of governments that operates in a place, in a family, in a life. Oh.
When your voice is heard, the enemies will hide.
Name.
Finally, take your Bible, Nahum 3. Don't forget Nahum 3. That's a scripture for emphasis in our prayer today. Nahum 3. Let's see the symptoms that depict a place that is under the influence of witchcraft oppression. The symptoms. If you see these kind of things, you don't need to go to the dictionary to find the meaning. You just understand what is at work. It's a woe to the bloody city. Bloody. Hallelujah. I met somebody there from a polygamous family. Originally, there were 28. No, 27. Alright? But at the time I was talking with the person, 14 had died. Because I took a fast and a prayer. And I was praying and I saw strange visions. I had to call the person for an interview. What is this thing? Who is this person? And I found out through the interview that 14 people have fallen. And if I'm not mistaken, none of them reached the age of 60. And apart from this original 14 people, some of their children too have fallen, fell before them. He called it what? A bloody city. Are you still with me now? That's the first sign. Check for the blood record. Then you have an insight into what exactly is operating. In some cases, it may not be blood. Second sign. It is full of lies and robbery. When you see someone that begins to make some kind of a little progress, you know, maybe showed signs of being extraordinarily intelligent. Are you with me now? And then somebody comes and takes palm oil. You know, when you have drained the palm oil out, there's something left. I don't know the name in English, but those are, in your place, they do palm oil. When they drain the palm oil, there's something left. Is that what you call it? Then somebody now brings ether in the night and rubs it. He had done incantation on the ether. And then he rubs it on the head of that person that is manifesting signs of brilliance. And suddenly, robbery. That's robbery. It's the ministry of the thief that comes to what? Steal. That comes to what? Kill. And that comes to destroy. That's robbery. A young man in Lagos was working at the barbage. Have you ever been to the barbage in Lagos? You will see white garment prophet doing like this. You'll find them. And the guy was stalling and one did like that. I said, guy, come. He's not asking for money. But your brain has been taken. Your brain has been taken. I need you to understand that through divination too, you can know things.
If you see the woman in the book of Acts, Apostle chapter 16, the things she said were right. But I don't want to go into details. I don't want to show you the limit of divination. Because divination has a limit. And it was true. The young man was struggling in the University of Jos. Failed almost all the exams and it was robbery. He was not born like that. So when you see something that was starting out well and suddenly there's a change, means an influence has come. Alright? Hey, are you still with me now? Now, I told you the antidote, that somebody that is sold out to the will and the purpose of God cannot be influenced by witchcraft. Just in case, I don't mean born again. I did not say somebody that is born again cannot be influenced by witchcraft. That's not what I said. In fact, most people that are born again right now in church are demonized. I didn't say possessed. These are different words used in scripture. Are you with me? Somebody can be born again doing his own ambition. Witchcraft can still influence him because he doesn't have a king. There's no spirit that is jealous for him because he has not yet identified with that spirit by an act of his own will. So there's no conviction in his work with God. He says, in fact, in that scenario, he can die anyhow. But when somebody is sold out to the will of God, absolutely sold out, witchcraft influence cannot survive over that life. And just in case you are passing through hard times, is the devil, is God that permitted the devil to do as much for a particular season? You see, God has, is the custodian of the scales of judgment. It might look now that you have been defeated. It might look now that the devil is having the upper hand. But if you keep the process, you will find out that that excuse, that attempt, that opportunity that the devil took to afflict you in that season was actually a mistake. Something that the devil will regret about if your walk with God is consistent. The devil will say, if I had known, I wouldn't have done. I don't know about you, but for 6 years of my life, I was under intense persecution. Intense persecution, not from Muslims, but from brethren. And you know, the thing about brethren is this, you can't fight them. Because if you stab one, in daylight, you find out it's your brother. Maybe under the influence of the anger, you stabbed. You felt it was an enemy, but when daylight comes, it's a relative. So you can't stab. If you are mature, you will not strike. Hallelujah. Because it's not the guy that's doing it, it's the devil. So you go through pain sometimes, and God will allow you to go through pain. Not because he wants you to be afflicted, but that pain will work out something that nothing else can work. And so, when we yield to the government of God, we accept his pain too. If he allows us to walk through pain, we thank him for the pain. Every time people identify with the afflictions of the Lord, there's an affliction that is with the Lord, so that if you join yourself with him, you partake of it. You fellowship in it. If you see two enemies and you put them in the same cell, because they are suffering in the same cell and they are trying to escape together, they can blend and become friends because they are suffering. You don't understand. There is a kind of loyalty that you will find among people suffering the same thing. You are not here. Some people were close to a crime scene and police came and raided all of them. And there was one among them that was a law student. He was quoting the constitution. And because of that, they locked them in the cell. They didn't plan to end up there, but the lawyer, his protections. And now they were in the cell. They didn't fight there. They were trying to collaborate. Because they were what? Fellowshipping in the same suffering. A great bond of friendship rose out of the prison yard that day. These were people that would never have known. There is a level of fraternity that you cannot sustain any other way by fellowshipping in. There is some level of trust God will not bestow upon you except you have accepted to be persecuted for him. When you desire to fellowship in his suffering, your ranking in the spirit will shift, will change. So, if you are sold out absolutely to the will of God, and maybe there's some form of contradiction, that's not witchcraft. Even if it was stirred up from that realm, for you, it's not an affliction, it's a process. You must understand that. If God allows it, then there's a process. A process that will not only bring you to redemption, a process that will break the entire scope of the power of that influence, no matter how long it has spoken, no matter how long it has received worship and memory. I challenge you today that your life can bring a change, a spiritual civilization to your family. Before we go into the word of God, can you plead the blood of Jesus upon your heart? Today is a strange day. Plead the blood. Plead that blood upon your heart. Say, journey in the spirit tonight. Say, journey in the spirit tonight. It's a journey in the spirit tonight. You are welcome to the mountain of the Lord. And we plead the blood. We plead the blood of the Lamb. Plead that blood upon your heart. We are going into deep places in the realm. We will need the Lord's help again and again to help us access the things that He has ready for us. Jesus. Plead the blood. It's time to soar in the heavens. It's time to leave the ground. It's time to leave the plain land. There's so many activities upstairs. And you will need to mount up someday. Oh, my Father. Plead the blood. This is my song. Forever and ever you reign. Forever and ever you reign. Help me now. To the heavens, and it reach out to God. Forever you reign. Forever you reign. Forever you reign. Forever you reign. Yeah. Let heaven hear your voice. Forever you live. Just call to him. Call to him.
your name tonight. Great man, much less scared. Ancient of days, we call on you.
Tonight, oh great one, we seek to walk in the midst of the coals of fire in the heavenlies, that we all might be purified as pleasing lampstands, bringing the witness of your illumination into the territory, into our nation, into our families. We pray tonight, oh God, that you will light our candle and enlighten our darkness tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We call forth your spirit to bring illumination, to bring insight, and to open the gates that are sealed. And we pray, oh God, that your great name will be exalted tonight in Jesus' mighty name.